I mean, it is. I'm actually really pumped about being able to preach on Christmas. I mean, how often do you get to do that? How many have ever done that before? Like none. I mean, and somehow, I can't think of anything more appropriate, and I do understand, and those of you that are online, we're glad you're online, but there's something about being with the people of God on one of the highlight days of Christian life, and that is Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And so I'm glad you're here, and I expected to be preaching to like 15 people, and we've quadrupled that maybe, or I don't know. But thanks for coming. What a great day. We've just finished celebrating what's called Advent, and we've been using Matthew as our text for the last couple weeks, and many of you have been there with us. And Advent is an anticipatory time, waiting. Just last week, we were with our grandkids out on the East Coast, as some of you know, and we brought gifts, and we took the gifts, and we put them underneath the tree right when we got there. And so you know what they wanted to do? They said, yeah, let's wait for a couple hours, and then we'll open the... No kid ever says that. So we said, I'll tell you what, we're going to eat first and then open the gifts. And they said, I'll tell you what, let's open the gifts, and we don't even care if we eat. And it was, and Advent has its sense that I think is a really healthy sense of anticipating. But you know what today is? It's Christmas, right? It's the anticipation is over. Jesus has come. I love birthdays. I remember one of my daughters used to say the best day of the year was, it was August 7th, because that was her birthday. She's got a little bit older, and so like many of us that have gotten older, and birthdays are a little bit different than they used to be. And there's just something about a birthday, like even on our Christmas tree, we have an ornament that is for the first Christmas of our first grandchild, Parker, and he stands proudly as this scrawny little baby, you know. And there's just something about birthdays that are so beautiful, because what was anticipated happened. And we're going to talk about the greatest birthday ever this morning. I mean, the greatest. And there are a lot of good birthdays. It was the birthday of Jesus. And the word that I want us to focus on, and I'm kind of a word guy, and some of you that know me a little bit, it's the word with. It's a four-letter word. It's a good four-letter word, because we're at Christmas, right? And it's the word with is, that's a W. It's a word that is technically, for those of you that are English technicians, it's a preposition. And even if you're not on Christmas Day, hey, here's my gift for you, a preposition. I'm going to throw a preposition at you. Here's what a preposition does. It takes two words and connects them. And what you usually say in the definition of a preposition is it shows relationship between two words. And the two words are God and us. Right? God and us. And the word that relates God and us is with. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. As a matter of fact, so I did what I've done before. It's used, the word with is used 6,199 times in the Bible, in the ESV anyway, the English Standard Version. And it means a number of different things. The smaller the word is, the broader its meaning potential is. Which is kind of weird, but that's the way it goes. When you have prepositions, they could mean a lot of things. Like one of the things with could mean is presence, which isn't like presence under the tree. It's like presence, like you're with someone. Like, you know, when you spend a couple days with your grandkids, that's all the sermon illustrations that you get. So our youngest granddaughter, her name is Lila. When you go to her house, she's 5 years old, and she wants you to come up to her room. And when you go up to her room, and it's like she says, Granddad, will you come to my room? And you know the answer to that question? Well, it's absolutely, I'm coming to your room. And I come up to her room, and then she proceeds to do what she does in her room. She's got all these stuffed animals and everything. She's playing with them, and I have no idea what she's doing, but I'm with her. My presence is there, and she's with me. And it's so sweet. So that's presence, but then there's even another depth to present, you're present with someone, and that is that you're in relationship with them. Like, I live with Kathy, that lady there. I don't live with any of you other people, but I live with her. And living with her doesn't just mean we're under the same roof, and we are under the same roof. There's an intimacy to that withness. There's a relationship to that withness. And when we talk about God with us, which is the core essence of Christmas Day, you ought to get really excited. And I'm going to share with you three kind of truths that come out of this Matthew text. And we're going to start in Matthew 1:22. And I hope you have your Bibles open, because we're going to track with three really quick, and I'm going to do them quickly, so we're not going to be here all morning, believe me. Kind of quickly. I asked Kathy if I could have a gift of 5 extra minutes for preaching. And she said, sure. But Ben didn't say that, so I don't know if I... So there's three really, really beautiful truths of WIF that come on this Christmas Day. And so here's a present to you. It's three WIF beautiful truths. The first one is this, that Christmas was promised, that God made a promise that there would be a day when he would come and be with his people. And look at the text. We're going to start in verse 22, but actually to give you a little bit of a context, verse 22, in Matthew 1:22, it says, all this took place. And one of the things I like to do is kind of go deliberately through the Bible. All what took place? And you know the story. And if you look at Matthew 1, and we've dealt with Matthew 1 the last couple weeks. Last night, for those of you that were here, Pastor Ben went through Matthew 1, 18, which is a really familiar, 18 through 20, about the birth of Jesus. But a couple weeks ago, we went through the first 18 verses or 17 verses, and it was a list of three groups of 14 names, which went back 2,000 years before Jesus, went back to Abraham, and just listed them out. And if you were a Jew in the first century, you would have known the stories behind most, if not all, of those names. It was, and you can even look at it in Matthew 1. You've got in verse 2, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Judah, and Perez, and it goes on and on and on. And that was, that's a fun sermon to preach that I preached a couple weeks ago, on all these different names, because all those names represent a history. They represent a sovereign God who had a plan, and his plan is going to reach its pinnacle when Jesus is born, but it wasn't as though he didn't know exactly what he was doing. God did. And so all this took place, like, for 2,000, and really more than 2,000 years, God had a plan. The plan, again, came to its culmination on what we call Christmas, and he had made a promise, and he's going to fulfill his promise. And then in this all that took place, in verse 18, and you heard it read this morning, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, as Mother Mary was espoused, that's old King James, betrothed. I mean, if you think about the life of Mary and Joseph just a couple months before Jesus was born, you talk about rocking their world. And I don't know, I reflected on it a little bit. I mean, so within that last, I don't know how many, it was at least 9 months, but probably even less than that, before Jesus was born, Mary had an encounter with an angel. Remember that story? That's in Luke. I mean, this angel, and I don't know about you, I don't know when your last encounter with an angel was, but I've had that many encounters that I knew of anyway with angels. And the angel comes and says, hey, Mary, chill out. You don't have to be afraid. You're going to have a baby. That was enough of a shock, because her mom had taught her well about how you have, you know, how you get to have babies, and she knew that wasn't me. What are you talking about? And then that baby is going to be the promised Messiah that had been promised for thousands of years. And if you're Mary, you're like, oh yeah, okay, well, all right, now I got to figure out what am I going to do next. I mean, if you just rocked her whole world. And then, and the way it's recorded in Matthew, Joseph had another, his world got rocked, and this angel came up to him and said, hey, Joe, I think that's what he probably said. Hey, Joe, all right, I know I'm an angel, chill out, you don't need to be afraid. I'm an angel, I got news for you, and here's the news, and the news is your world is never going to be the same again, because that woman that you were going to be engaged to, and you weren't sure, I mean, you trusted her, you knew she was a good girl, and here's what happened. The Almighty God overshadowed her, and what is that she's going to give birth to the Messiah, the God-man, and you know what, Joseph, there you go. See you later, man. And the angel takes off, and I think Joseph's like, what has just happened? And then, And then Joseph, I mean, then the Caesar or the leader, all this took place. The governor of Syria and of this region said, hey, it's tax time, it's tax time. So I tell you what, you guys, all you guys get the privilege of going and paying taxes, to be registered, taxed. And so Joseph says, yeah, sure, this is just the way life goes, right? I find out from an angel that my fiance is pregnant, and then we get to make this trip. The trip would have been a trip that was, and I Googled how far that trip was from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and that trip, according to Google, MapQuest, somebody, whatever Joseph used back in the day, you know, it would have been like 100 miles, and it would have taken, because their transit was down, just wasn't working, because they didn't have it, so you walk, and it would have been, if you're really aggressive, it would have been a four-day walk. Oh, yeah, and by the way, she's 9 months pregnant. Ah, well, all right, let's go. Here we go. Or, I mean, all this took place. I even wondered, Mary, are you insane? Why? I've never been 9 months pregnant, ever. Thank you. But I'm just guessing. If you're 9 months pregnant, you're not thinking, let's dance. And it doesn't even say that there was a donkey when you read it in the Bible. It doesn't say that. I don't know. Maybe there was. Would it be better to ride for 4 days on a donkey or walk? I don't know. Again, I've never had that experience. Neither one of them sound particularly appealing. But I think Mary knew that if she's going to give birth to Messiah, Messiah's going to be born in Bethlehem, because it had been promised. And so here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All this, that's a lot of stuff, took place to fulfill what God had spoken by the prophet. And even that second part of that verse, to fulfill what the Lord had spoken, God spoke it, but he spoke it through a human instrument. In this case, it's going to be Isaiah. It's that joint, God is sovereign, and yet he uses humans to bring about his will. He uses people like Mary and Joseph and Isaiah to bring about the incredibly glorious day when the God-man is going to come to earth. And it had been promised, and God's, you know what God's really good at? Fulfilling his promises, doing what he said he was going to do. And, you know, I thought about the promises in the Old Testament that I think Mary and Joseph could have looked back on and they could have recognized. Like, if you read the Old Testament well, the Old Testament is a series of promises that are going to culminate in Jesus coming to earth, being born, living a perfect life, and then dying and raising, being risen or whatever. And that was all anticipated in the Old Testament. Like, if you go back to Genesis, in Genesis 3:15, it's one of the classic first comments in the scriptures. Right after the fall, Adam and Eve had sinned, and here's what God said to him: you guys are in trouble. You've sinned. However, that serpent, which represents evil, is going to make your life miserable. But there's going to come a day when your seed or your offspring, Mary, is going to crush the head of the serpent. That promise was made thousands of years. I don't know when Adam and Eve lived. I'm not sure what their date was, but it was thousands of years before this event. And then if you move ahead in the Old Testament, that was in Genesis 3. If you go to Genesis 12, which would have been 2,000 years before Jesus was born, there was a guy named Abraham who was an old man. And what God said to Abraham, I got a promise for you, Abe. Here's my promise. My promise is I'm going to make of you a great nation. You don't have any kids, but hey, just hang on. It'll happen. And in you, all families of the earth are going to be blessed. There's this promise of a blessing to all the families of the earth. And then you ratchet ahead, and then you go to 1400 BC, and there's another promise that was given by Moses, who was the deliverer of Israel, and he said there's going to come a day when a prophet is going to come, and he's going to be a prophet that they would have anticipated to be a deliverer, a savior of Israel. And then you ratchet, I mean, you keep ratcheting ahead, right? You can ratchet ahead to David, which we've been studying in this last year. And in David, it says the promise was there's going to come a day when there's going to be somebody, the king is going to rule Israel forever. And he's going to be the king of promise. And then you go to Isaiah, who said, a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which is the next verse in Matthew. And then there's going to come a day, and there came a day in the fullness of time when Jesus was born, and the promises of God were fulfilled. God keeps his promises. So on this Christmas morning, Merry Christmas. God doesn't lie. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. And in the fullness of time, Jesus was born. And what we celebrate today is God said, this is the right time. It's going to happen. And here it is. And it did happen, which then makes me think this. I can trust him. You know why it's worth meeting on Christmas morning is to remind ourselves, you can trust God because he keeps his promises. And not only that, but I would say this. You ought to study his word. Like, you ought to make a commitment on this Christmas day to say, I'm going to study God's word because I want to see him and I want to know what his promises are. I was thinking, if we'd had more time, I'd like to have a list of all the promises of God that he's fulfilled or the promises that he will fulfill. Like, I'm coming back again. Do you believe the Lord's coming back again? Do you believe Christmas 2 is coming? Do you believe Christmas 2 is coming? Do you believe there's going to come a day when we're all going to be gathered together and we're going to say, hey, I don't know what song we're going to sing. It's probably going to be something like, oh, come let us adore him. Right, Mitchell? I don't know. Or you can pick another one. It's going to be hallelujah. Right, where's Doug? He's out there. He'd be singing hallelujah, the hallelujah chorus. Because there he is. Because he's a Messiah guy. Anyway, because the Lord has returned, we can trust him. And let me give one other application on this first point. You know what? Life doesn't always go the way... my life has not always gone the way I planned it. I'm sure some of you, your life is just exactly the way you planned it. Anybody, like, hey, there have been a few little, things in life, like Mary. Oh, yeah, you're going to give birth to... Jesus, that kind of rocks your world. And I think it rocks it in a good way, but it also, that wasn't like easy street for Mary. It was anything but that. And for Joseph, it certainly wasn't. And for you and me, when we're going through life, you can trust God. Merry Christmas. Because you know what? He's got a pretty good track record of keeping his promises. Like, he's never not done that, which is a double negative. Which is really good. All right, so real beautiful truth number one about with is that God is a promising God and he fulfills his promise. Number two is actually what I just said before. Number two is that Christmas is the fulfillment of what God promised. Look at verse 23. And again, another familiar verse, which is actually a quote from the Old Testament, which, by the way, when you're reading the New Testament, the New Testament is full of Old Testament quotes or allusions, meaning alluding to the Old Testament. There's hundreds of them. And that's because the Bible for Jesus and the Bible for the New Testament writers was what we call the Old Testament. They didn't call it the Old Testament. To them, it wasn't, it might have been old, but it was the Bible. And the Bible is what was God's word spoken through a prophet or God's word spoken through an apostle. It has the authority of God speaking. Here's what God said in Isaiah 7:14 in verse 23. Behold, doesn't that sound like a Christmas word? Behold. That does sound like a Christmas word. Anyway, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, which is the human stuff. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. And then you've got a conjunction and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means, for those of you that don't speak Aramaic or Hebrew, like none of us do, or virtually none of us do, that Emmanuel means God with us. So that's the God stuff. You've got the man stuff, the human stuff, and you got the God stuff, and it all comes together in this prophecy that was made roughly 700 years before this Christmas. A virgin is going to conceive, bear a son, and they'll call his name Emmanuel. That first part, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, is really kind of a phenomenal statement. First of all, biologically, and I'm no biological person, but I know biologically that just doesn't happen. You don't, virgin meaning not having had a relationship with a man in this case, and then somehow giving birth, that just doesn't happen. There's a miracle to it. And by the way, the idea of being a virgin didn't mean she was better than any other woman. What it meant, I think, at least partly, and we talked about this in one of our staff meetings, it's kind of fun to try to think through the virgin conception of Jesus. I think a major part of that is because her son predated her. And that's never happened before. There's never been a mother that says, yeah, I'm going to give birth to a kid, but he's older than me. I mean, the one that Mary gave birth to was one that had been the creator of, in essence, her and all of humanity. It was none other than the God-man. So the virginness is pretty significant, but I think it also has this idea, and I like to look at it like this, that it's as though Mary was the new Eve. You know, Eve is the mother of all living. That's what her name means. She was the first woman ever. Everybody can look back and say, that was my whatever grandmother, right? That's who Eve was. Now, when Mary came, she gave birth to the one who would give new life to dead people, spiritually dead people. It's as though this newness is going to come, this life is going to come from Mary that will give life to all who put their faith and trust in who Jesus is. And not only was that true, but it gave a hope for a new world. You know, Christmas should have this freshness to it. And little babies have a little bit of that too, right? You look at them, you say, wow, there's something about it. Look at how smooth their skin is. You know, I don't know what happens, but it changes over time. I'll inform you of that. But it's sort of this new life. And part of what this whole story of Jesus coming to earth was not only I'm going to save my people from their sins, but I'm going to be with them, and I'm going to create this whole new world. It's going to be a world of my people, a world that will ultimately be culminated in his second coming, but we can also experience it even in the first coming. So, behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. That's the reality of the fulfilled promise to Eve. And now it also says, and they will call his name Emmanuel. And we're familiar with the Emmanuel language, probably. Emmanuel comes from a Hebrew word, which, by the way, here's the quiz for the morning. You can spend, after you open your gifts, you can debate. Should Emmanuel be spelled with an I or an E? How many I Emmanuels do we have? None. One. All right, there's one. How many E Emmanuels do we have? All right, we got quite a few of you. And it really doesn't matter. It depends on whether you're speaking Greek or Hebrew. But it's actually comes from a Hebrew word. And the im part means with. It's a preposition that a lot of times is prefixed to different words in Hebrew. And then the last part, so im is with. The last part is el. And el means, I think a lot of people probably know that, it means God. And when it's plural, it's Elohim. And then in the middle is us. So it's God us with, but that just isn't smooth. It's much smoother to say God with us. That's his name. And you know, in verse 21, it says, you're going to call his name Jesus, which means he'll save his people from their sins. But there's even a deeper reality to who Jesus is. Not only will he save people from their sins, but he wants to be with us. And on this Christmas day, that's mind-boggling. Because I could see Jesus saying, you know what, I'm going to save you, but I'm God. I got God stuff to do. See you later. He said, I'm going to save you, and I want to be with you. That's what Christmas is about. It's amazing. And I came up with this little thing, and I don't know if this will help you, but it was kind of fun for me. At Christmas, God could have said, because I've heard people that have made promises, And he could have said something like this. Hang on for this. He could have said, you know what? I know I promised that I was going to be with you, but I can't pull it off. I'll tell you what, I'll send you a check. How much, you know, I mean, I know it's, we're going to call it Christmas. I'm going to send you a check. Or maybe, and I've really become progressive in my mature age, where I'm familiar with Venmo now. You guys into Venmo? It's like, don't send me a check, Venmo me. And I'm like, Venmo you, okay, what do I? And God could have said, you know what, I'm going to Venmo you. And you know what, it'll be a lot. How much you want? Cattle? How many cattle? I got cattle on thousands of hills. How many you want? Or he could have said, I'll tell you what, I'll send you a card. I'll send you a Christmas card. Or he could have said, you know what, I'm really busy. I mean, I'm God. And when you're really busy, I had thought I was going to come to be with you, but I'm just too busy. Sorry about that. He could have said, I've got some really important things to do. I mean, they're really important. I've got a job. And if I didn't have all these important things, then I could come and be with you. Or here's what I wrote down. I thought it was kind of cute too, and maybe you don't think so, but I thought it was. It was like, you know what? I'm having too much fun. I'm in heaven. You know what heaven's like? You expect me to come there? All right, I know I promised it, but now that I think about it, it's just I'm having too much fun. Or, you know how hard it is for me to make it to you? I mean, if I'm going to come be with you, I gotta scrunch up into my mom's uterus. Am I allowed to say that in church? I don't know. But anyway, I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna be born, and then I'm gonna be a baby, and then I'm gonna be hungry. And I mean, it's a hard road. Sorry, I don't know. You know what God did say? On Christmas Day, here's what God said. I'm gonna fulfill my promise. In the fullness of time, Christ came to be with us. And not only that, I'm gonna promise you that I'm gonna adopt you. I'm not just gonna save you, I'm gonna adopt you as my child. To as many as believed him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. And not only that, but I promise that I'm gonna help you in your time of need. I'll be an ever-present help in time of need. And not only that, but I'll be the light of the world. So when you're walking in darkness, I'm gonna be your light. I promise you that. And I promise that I'll be the great shepherd, and I promise I'll be the resurrection and the life. And I promise I'm coming again. And you know what? I keep my promises. I fulfill my promises. And this Christmas day is a day where we say, thank you, Lord, because you promise and you fulfill your promises. And those of us that are believers and we're here, when we sing, oh, come, let us adore him. He's Christ the Lord. And maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus. And it really is exciting for me to see this number of people on Christmas Day here wanting to sing praises to the Lord and hear about the Lord. And I tell you what, the gift that God offers is an incredibly, just wonderful is not the right word. I don't know what kind of word. It's an incredibly something reality that you could have a relationship with the God of the universe, who sent his son because he loved the world. And if you would put your faith and trust in him, then this would be, I guarantee you, this would be the best Christmas you ever had. And for many of us, that's what, would you affirm that? I mean, those of us that are believers, yeah, it's nice to get gifts, it's nice to be with family, but it's nice that God is with us. Amen and amen. So Christian, you're never alone. You believe that? I mean, there's some days when it feels really bleak. And for some, even Christmas can be that. The Lord is near. We studied about that in Philippians not too long ago. Near doesn't just mean, hey, he's kind of near out there somewhere. The with word just brings him right with us. He's with us. So on those days when you feel lonely, when you feel anxious, when you feel like life just seems like it's the pits, here's what God says to you. I am with you. And here's what the people of God say. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It doesn't get any better than that. Let me give you one practical, kind of a little, I don't know what it is. It's a Christmas gift that I have to give. About a month ago, prayer, I don't know about you guys, but prayer is the way you can really relate to the withness of God. You want to know how to know God's with you is your prayer life. Because if you really believe he's with you, you're praying. And I've prayed a lot my whole life. I'm a pastor. I mean, pastors, what do? All they do is pray, right? I mean, we do a few other things too. But it was probably a month or so ago, for some reason, I decided to shut off sports radio in the car. There you go. All right, you guys aren't impressed with that. I was pretty impressed with that. It's off. And I'm going to pray, and I've done that before. I'm going to pray audibly. And that seems really weird, but if nobody else is in the car, what's weird if nobody else is in the car with you, if you're just by, and I said, Lord, and then I just start talking to him, and talking to him, and talking to him, and it was amazing, because he's really here, and there was something about it that just refreshed me. So it's kind of like, what you could do is take a verse, like Matthew 1:21, shall bear a son, you'll call his name Jesus, he'll save his people from their sins. I said, Lord, man, you came to earth. That's just mind-boggling, Lord. And I would say it out loud, you know, and I don't really care what the person beside me thinks, because they don't know me, I don't know them. Then say, save. You know what? I know I needed saving, and I know I have relatives that need to be saved. And it's amazing how if you practice it a little bit, and I know there was something about just saying it that it's almost like God's witness was more, I sensed it more. So I don't know. You can take that for what it's worth. On this Christmas, here's the reality: the God who promises fulfills what his promises are. And he said, I'm gonna be with you. And that's true for all of us as individuals, but it's also when you gather together. You know what's really cool about gathering together? We're a whole bunch of people, those of us that are believers in, we're a whole bunch of people who believe in the witness of God, and so we're witnessing Jesus together. And there's something really cool about that as a community. Which then leads me to my third point. God promised, God fulfills his promise, and then there's a result. Since God is with us, we can live for him. And if I were to do this again, and Naomi put that in exactly as I told her to, I would scratch out that word for, and I would put with. We can live with him. And when you hear that, you probably think, yeah, someday I'm going to go live with him, and which is true. But do you believe that you live with him today? Or is it like, hey, he's out there, someday he's coming back, and we believe that, and I think we should believe that, and that's a good thing. But you know what? He's with us today, and we ought to live with him, meaning what you embark on today and the rest of your life, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is you're walking with Jesus. So when you're walking with Jesus, you think that affects the way you walk? I know you think it does. Maybe you hadn't thought about it before. I think it does. If I'm walking with him, he gives me strength, that's for sure. Strength to what? Strength to not be afraid, strength to not be anxious, strength to overcome sin, strength. He gives me all I need in life. I know I think I need other things, but he knows what I really need. And let me give you an illustration of that. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, this one kind of jolted me again too. When Joseph woke from sleep, doesn't that just kind of jolt you? Maybe not, huh? So if you had, like last night, had an angel come and talk to you, would you have said, man, the angel's gone, it's time to go to bed? Tell you what, I'd be like, I can't believe what just happened. And then not only that the angel came and talked to you, I mean, but then the angel said, your whole life is going to be different than what you ever. I would have been like, all right, I'm up for the rest of the night and maybe a couple more nights. There's no way I'm going to sleep. What I think probably happened. This is not biblical. I think the angel, you know what angel dust is, right? I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, I think the angel said, hey, Joe, I know this was a pretty shocker, so here's what I'm going to do. But a little angel, and then Joseph conks out, and he wakes up. And you know what happened after he woke up? He debated, guess now I better get some advice from people. Should I do what the angel of the Lord said? The text almost says it in a nonchalant way, but I think we ought to read it really carefully. When he woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, period. God said it. He did it. Here's what the Church of Jesus Christ is. It's a group of people that on Christmas Day we say, God is with us, and so we're going to live our life with him. And when he tells us what to do, we do it. We do it. And I know sometimes it's a little harder to figure out, you know, what exactly does God want? There's some things we know for sure that God wants us to do. And let's be a church, a group of people that say, this Christmas, God's with us, and we're going to do like Joseph, do whatever he commanded. And he took his wife. Actually, I think that was a good deal for him. He didn't know her until she had given birth to a son. And by the way, some think of that Mary was perpetually a virgin, and I'm here to tell you she wasn't. Joseph and her had good marital life and had kids that came from that. And then look at the last part. And he called his name Jesus. Called his name Jesus. Joseph did what you're supposed to do, as he would have been the adopted father of Jesus, I think is the right way to look at it, because he married Jesus' mother. And then he was the one that said, although apparently the angel had said it to Mary, but Mary must have said it to Joseph, we're calling him not Joseph. You know, I had a son, and you know what I called him? Joseph. Why not? Because my dad had a son, and you know what he called him? And his dad had a son, and you know what he called him? So I had a grandfather that was Joseph, and I had a father that was Joseph, and I have a son that was Joseph, and I have a grandson, but it's from a daughter that's Joseph. And I think that's kind of cool. And I bet Joseph thought it was kind of cool, but Jesus said, or but God said, hey, Joseph, on that day when this one is born, he's going to be the Savior of the world, and you name him accordingly. You name him Jesus. And Joseph said, yes, sir, there's nothing better than being one who is a follower of God. Jesus is his name. And he then proceeded to save the world from their sins. So church, Merry Christmas. It is so good on Christmas Day to say there is meaning behind this day other than just, you know, all the hustle and bustle and stuff. One of the things I like about Christmas, the stores are shut down. You know, whatever you did, you did. Now enjoy the wonder and the beauty of God with us. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come to us, the people of God, O Israel. And be patient. You know, God promised, and it was hundreds and hundreds of years before his promise was fulfilled. God's promised he's coming again, and let's live in light of that, and let's be patient people, but not patient that are inactive. Let's also be faithful. On this Christmas day, let's say, God, we're going to be faithful to you because you have been faithful to us. So God with us. I was going to do this at the beginning, and I forgot. So, and I wish I had made, I don't know how many people are here, but a number of years ago, I thought about this whole with thing at Christmas, and so my wife made me an ornament to put on the Christmas tree. And I had it this morning, and I was coming to church to use it as a visual aid. And I dropped it. And you know what happened? I would like to say, and it didn't, it's probably a million pieces, because it was one of those, I know, and I'm looking at that saying, because she had made it for me, you know, and it was like God with us, and it's so cool. But you know what? Here's what redemptive world does, is she got another one and made it this morning. And it's God with us. To which I will put, yeah, there you go. I'll put it on this tree. God with us. And then my charge to you would be go find something and put a with on your tree as you go home today. If you have a treat, if you don't, just put it on the wall, because you know what? God is with us, and it doesn't get any better than that. Let me pray.